Marked for condemnation, Jude, part 2. We read verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. All right, going after strange flesh or unusual ways means sexual perversion, according to the scriptural standards of men with men, etc. And what are they going to, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They rained fire and brimstone down on them, and they are nothing. They're pillars of salt all over in the Dead Sea at the base of Masada, even to this day. And that's the example. Now, I find it very strange that the Israeli government will not acknowledge that Sodom and Gomorrah are at the base of Masada, but it's just so obvious. There's been some research and studies done on that. You can YouTube it if you like and find it. And what was their sin? Fornication and sexual perversion. Strange and unusual ways. Twisting the natural order that God ordained. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. All right. Let me go back also to these are the list of sins. Okay, that Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom was a watchword for sinfulness, and this verse highlights sexual immoralities as the Sodomites pursued unnatural desire, pursued unusual ways or different flesh. The Sodomites also attempted to engage in rape of male visitors, especially angelic visitors, when they went to Lot's house. And Lot said, don't do this, I'll give you my virgin daughters. And they didn't want the daughters, they wanted the angels, which is another form of unusual, as it says here, unusual ways or strange flesh. Jesus also alluded to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which was Admah and Zeboim, as a list of cities that God destroyed. He says here that it says in the scripture that God destroyed these cities. All right, let's look at these filthy dreamers. Defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. All right. It refers to or implies that you, the derision of angels is, you shouldn't do this. Even sinful ones. Thus, even the good archangel Michael refused to speak derisively of Satan disputing about the body of Moses, because Satan is still subject to the laws of God and the counsel of God. And this is shown clearly in the introduction to Job, where Satan appears in the courts of heaven before the throne of the Lord, and he says, where have you been? So I've been roaming to and fro over the whole earth. Have you observed your servant Job? Okay. Excuse me. So the body of Moses, there was a dispute, as I said before, and Michael says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. But, and why was there a dispute over the body of Moses, because Moses was raised in the satanic courts, the serpent worshiping courts of Pharaoh's court, which Satan, Leviathan, was exalted. If Satan had Moses' body, he could twist the right judgments and laws that Moses received and pervert them into an idolatrous worship, most likely. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is the brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. All right, this is interesting, because it says here that these kind of people, he's giving a description, they rely on their dreams, they defile the flesh, they reject authority and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment. Okay, this is much stronger language in the New American, the English Standard Version. He didn't have a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. In other words, let God judge you. But these people blaspheme what they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they like. Unreasoning animals understand instinctively. Okay, they're sensualists. As they operate in their senses, their five senses. They operate in their carnal bishu, sensual understanding. They don't know the ways of God or haven't been instructed. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. Well, Balaam took bribes, basically, to prophesy what the king wanted him to prophesy. He wanted him to curse what God didn't curse. And he did it for money. He opposed the will of God. And instead of the people being cursed, they were blessed. He prophesied blessing until Balaam went in and caused them to, the children of Israel, to commit sins with the Moabite women. And then they opened the door to curses and judgments and perished in Korah's rebellion. All right. So we have three examples here. Cain, who murdered his brother, Balaam's error, and Korah's rebellion against Moses and Aaron. If you want to look it up, Cain is in Genesis 4, 1 through 6, and 1 John 3, 12 through 15. And Balaam's error is 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16 is referred. Korah is rebellion against Moses and Aaron is recorded in Numbers 16, 1, 40. And they perish, Korah and his allies, when God made the ground open up and sent fire. Okay. These are examples of those who are disobedient to the ways of God. They are hidden reefs at your love's feast, as they feast with you without fear. Okay, the love feasts are the Lord's Supper. And at the Lord's table, you eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And you have to confess your sins. If you do not confess your sins and you eat and drink unworthily, you bring judgment on your head. God will judge you. And they feast with you without fear. So here they come. They've snuck into the body of Christ, into those who have fellowship at the Lord's table. And they don't understand the ways of God. They're sensual. They're immoral. They seduce and deceive, and then they eat and drink the communion cup of the Lord's Supper, eating and drinking judgments on themselves. They feast with you without fear. There's no fear of God in them. No fear of judgment. We need all fear of God and His judgment. Shepherds feeding themselves. They're not interested in the flock. They're interested in what they can get out of the flock. Waterless clouds, swept along by winds. This is something that this particular phrase always gives me such a dread. It's like waterless clouds. It's the promise of maybe rain, but there is no rain. And they're swept away by the winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn. In other words, there's no real fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're barren. Twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. This is their judgment. This is who they are. Lord have mercy. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment." Here's the judgment. "On all." Everybody's coming to before the judgment. "And to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way. And of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Okay. Enoch prophesied. He's mentioned in Genesis 5, 21 and 24. He lived 365 years before God took him, which indicates he did not die. See also Hebrews 11, 5. In Jewish literature, Enoch is also said to be of the seventh generation. So the book of Enoch, First Enoch, was considered to possibly be or have the import of Scripture. However, in the early church, they did not put Enoch in the Old Testament canon. So Jew may have been able to consider this passage accurate and prophetic without endorsing the whole book of First Enoch. The content of Jude 14 and 15 is admitted in the parallel section of 2 Peter. Okay, who are these people? They are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Now Jude is talking to the believers here in the Lord. So they're believers. They say they're believers, and they're not in the Lord Jesus. And it says they're fruitless trees. They don't have water in their clouds. They're full of shame and wandering stars for the gloom of utter darkness. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, are we in the last time? Oh, yes. "There will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." Yes, building ourselves up in the most holy faith with the right doctrine and praying in the Holy Spirit. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." And then the final doxology here. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." I'm gonna jump back here. Let's have a peek. Let's look and see what Second Peter has got going. First in Second Peter. Ah, here it is. Second Peter 2. So this is the second witness in Scripture. Of course, there are others. And this particular passage is titled, False Prophets and Teachers. False Prophets and Teachers. Got plenty of those. Must be the last days. Okay, and this section overlaps with Jude 3 through 19. But false prophets rose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly, here it is, secretly, they're manipulating it, bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of the way of truth, will be blasphemed. So they bring a reproach on true Christianity, authentic. Because of the way of truth, they will be blasphemed. Because they're sensual. Even the world recognizes its own. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgments. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with the seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, whereas that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passions and despise authority. It's the same themes. You hear the same themes, different phrasing, but the same themes. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, the greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrongs as the wages for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilement of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. And Lord help us, these are evil days, and we are grieved, and we do seek your counsel, Lord, and we remind ourselves with the washing of the water of the word that these are indicative of the last days and what is transpiring even now on the earth.